Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission. The Porsche Carrera Cup North America on IMSA Radio.
Watkins Glen International is the venue for this weekend's Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands. And John Hindhoff and Jeremy Shaw are in the Global Broadcast Centre on a brilliantly superb day, with not a cloud in the sky. Just waiting for the command to get the flat sixes started. We're at Watkins Glen International in the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York, just outside the town of Watkins Glen itself. They're big race fans here and have been for a very long time, racing on the roads around the rolling countryside in the late 40s and early 50s, led to the establishment of a full-time racing circuit. 11 corners on the track, 3.4 miles in the Grand Prix configuration that we are using today. And there's the command going on in the background to start the engines. The inner loop, always an awesome place to get a car through, and the flatter curves now means you can use a lot more of it. Plenty of passing places, as we saw yesterday in race one, when Kai van Berlo led from pole position. The two Kelly Moss cars, with Dickinson sitting in behind. Then there was, at the start of the race, a rather big incident for the number 77. Contact with Dimitri DeMarcos, saw Wiley go over at the end of that roll, and that caused a very long safety car intervention. He was fine, thank goodness. The car took a battering, but looked remarkably well sorted. Both the doors able to be opened. On the restart, van Berlo still at the front of the field, and Mark Kouame coming through to win the AM class inside the top 10 of the overall. Was Alan Metney in the number 99 who won the Pro-Am category, inside the top 10, excuse me. For Alan, he was there all day, but nobody could touch the young Dutchman. Kai van Berlo winning overall and making that the 12th time he stood on the top step of a Porsche Carrera Cup North America podium. Great weather again today, Jeremy, and the front of the grid looking remarkably similar to how it did yesterday.
Yes, indeed. Kai van Berlo very much the man to beat this weekend. Unfortunately, Travis Wiley will not be starting today's race, nor will Michael McCarthy, who had a crash yesterday in qualifying. So two cars down. We've still got 32 cars in this race. We've got six AM cars, the pole sitter of which, once again, is Mark Kouame. We've got 12 Pro-Ams. Pole sitter there, again, is Alan Metney, who starts inside the top 10 in seventh position. Let's run down the top 10 overall, perhaps. It's Michael McCann, who will start in the 10th position in car number 8. Number 58, TJ Fisher for Top Racing alongside him. Row 4, Dimitri DeMarcos in car number 11 for 311 RS Motorsports. Then one position ahead of him is Alan Metney in car number 99 for Kelly Moss. That's a great effort once again in qualifying for Metney. Sean Varwig will start in the 6th position for Kelly Moss in car number 2, alongside the second of the 311 RS Motorsport entries at car number 12 for Lee Keane. Row 2, we saw a great battle between these two yesterday for third and fourth positions. It'll be Parker Thompson who starts fourth today for JDX Racing in car number 9. Trenton Estep for MDK Motorsports in car number 6 will start on the inside of row 2. Front row, again, all Kelly Moss, as it has been for much of the season, although last time out at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, Parker Thompson took two wins for JDX, but other than that, it's been Kelly Moss all the way. Riley Dickinson will start second on the grid again today in car number 53, but on the pole position once more is the young Dutchman, that is Kai van Berlo in car number 3. This is his 8th pole position, and 6 of them have come this season.
And the championship, Jeremy, Kai moved ahead even a little further yesterday.
Yeah, came in with a 22-point edge over Parker Thompson, but leaves, or comes into this second race of the weekend with a 33-point edge, 171 to 138. He also got 2 points for the pole position and one more for fastest lap yesterday. He's already got the 2 more points for pole position today and looking for another clean sweep on the season for Kai van Berle. He's scored now 5 wins out of the 7 races.
He's looking very, very strong indeed, and that was a measured drive yesterday. He needs to convert again today. What you really can't have in this championship, with everybody nipping at your heels, even with the gap that he's got, you can't afford a non-finish. So it's controlled aggression.
Yeah, because that was his problem last season. He won more races than the eventual champion Sebastian Prio, but had a few incidents, including a major crash at VIR, and those combined DNFs or poor finishes cost him in the championship stakes. But this year, he's looking good, John.
40 minutes on the clock, a full tank of racing fuel, Michelin racing tyres, a hot day, a sunny day, and the second race of the weekend at Watkins Glen International for the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by visitcaymanislands.com, gets underway. The two Kelly Moss Racing drivers just about control the start, but they're both off very wide indeed at the exit of turn one. I think they'll hold on to their first and second position. Riley Dickinson with the orange accoutrement to the front of that car is the way to tell those two white and green cars apart. So it is Kai van Berle who leads it from Riley Dickinson, Trenton Este, Parker Thompson right in there in the JDX racing car. That's the shell coloured car in fourth position. Then the bright red car of Lee Keane, that's a 311 RS car. Sean Marwick, Alan Metney right up there as well, has held on to his position from the start in the iFly car. He's the best of the Pro Am runners. Everybody playing nicely off the start this time around. So the Nola Sport car, can't miss that one for Justin Oakes. He's third in Pro Am, down in 15th position. That's the multicoloured car. And everyone getting through the first half of the lap. Now, track temperature at the start, spot on 100 Fahrenheit, 38 Celsius. It's 26 in the air, 79 Fahrenheit. Side by side early on, and Alan Metney gets pushed down just a little bit there. That was Hutton McKenna in the number 88 Wright Motorsports car going through. Let's have a... Excuse me, it was not. It was the 58. My apologies. That was TJ Fisher that was going through on the inside. That was at turn 8. Already, Kai van Berle pushing very hard at the start of this race. The real balancing act here, Jeremy, between speed and looking after the equipment for later on in the race. But van Berle seems to have really hit that balance and that compromise very, very well in the last few times we've seen him at the front of the field.
And that certainly is going to be a factor, looking after your tyres in this race. It's 45 minutes, and you have to look after those tyres, because the last 10 or 15 minutes or so, the tyres are really going to be struggling. Particularly, it's a lot hotter today than it was yesterday. The sun is beating down right now, and that is going to take the life out of these tyres. So I think we saw yesterday, you talked about it in the intro there, that Kai van Berle managed the race perfectly yesterday. He'll be looking to do the same again, not take too much out of those tyres too soon.
Bill Smith in the bright orange number 42. He had a good run yesterday to second in his class. That's the AM class, and that top racing car looked in pretty good shape. He's just overtaken Mark Kwame for the lead in that class. So that's the 43 car behind. That was the pole sitter. And Bill Smith just gone through. Kwame moving around a bit there in the MDK car.
And Bill Smith right behind. Bill's gone through.
That's just what I was saying there.
Yeah, indeed.
Bill, we said yesterday that Bill was driving with a renewed confidence, and he's brought that to today's race. and he was pushing Mark all the way to the checkered flag yesterday, and he undoubtedly had the better car at the end of the race. Now Mark has made a wee mistake there, and Bill's already through, so the boot is very much on the other foot here today. It's Kwame who has to do the chasing, much as Riley Dickinson did yesterday and is doing today at the front of the field with the two Kelly Moss cars up through the climbing S's. Flat six, four-cylinder engines. New 992 body shape. And these cars, as I say, holding on to the engine that we know and love, that 4-litre. Just over 500 horsepower, exactly the same as the road car. And the road car sharing a huge amount of componentry and similarities to the 993 Cup car, the 992 Cup car, excuse me. Detailed changes to the aerodynamics. They have the Cup cars have the slots in the rear wings that the turbos have for the street cars. There's a slight difference to the interior as well. I don't think these have Apple CarPlay, if I'm quite honest. Manual six-speed box in the road car, or the Porsche double clutch, of course.
Rules of that for me then.
What, you wouldn't have one of these race cars because it hasn't got the Apple CarPlay?
Absolutely.
No, right, okay. The road cars are available with a manual six-speed, or the famed...
Other way around, actually.
You'd be quite happy not having it. I'm quite happy listening to the flat six, Jeremy. I don't need any other music.
Music to my ears as well. Glorious. Great start here by these two Kelly Moss cars. Look at a gap they pulled out already over Trenton Essip and Parker Thompson and the rest of the field. They're pushing hard at the front here. And it was Riley Dickinson who was fractionally quicker on the last lap around. They come across the line to complete lap three. And once again, it's Riley Dickinson who's fractionally quicker. So they're very, very closely matched. Can he maintain that pressure? Or more particularly, can Riley Dickinson find a way past? 148.891, the fastest lap so far for Riley Dickinson in second place.
Just an aux, just making up a position there as he went by Grant Todke, I think, in the ACI Motorsports car in the Nola Sports number 47. The street car available with this beautiful six-speed manual, which works fabulously well with the torque of this four-litre normally aspirated engine, or the Porsche PDK, of course, which you can have the option of, the paddle shift. These cars are all paddle shift, but it's not the PDK, it's a single clutch gearbox in this, a more race-bred gearbox in these cars for longevity, and of course they are being used how they are meant to. There is an advantage on serviceability as well, but very, very close to their road car siblings. Same double wishbone front suspension on the road cars, all the 992s with the wide body now since the launch of the eighth generation of the Porsche, the venerable 911.
And the fastest lap yesterday, by the way, was set by Kai van Berlo, 148.871, which was not a record. He'd set the record last year, 148.619. But already in this race, Riley Dickinson's come very, very close to that. 148.891 last time around for the second place car. Coming across line to complete the fourth lap now, and still absolutely nose to tail those two. But this time, he does respond as Kai van Berlo. He goes a bit quicker, sets a new fastest lap of the race, 148.702, so faster than yesterday for Kai van Berlo.
That little bump and grind earlier on with Alan Metney and the number 58 has pushed him a little bit closer to his Pro-Am competitor, Efren Castro. Just a second or so between them as they're going over the top at turn at number four. The top of the S's. Oh, and they're coming together at turn one.
It's Dominic Lecoeur in car number 30.
There was another car involved, Jeremy. Dominic is...
possibly Joseph Lombardo, who was right behind Dominic Lecoeur, or Kurt Swearingen, who was a little bit ahead of him.
Well, Dominic is pointing in the right direction, but he's not going very far with his rainbow-coloured wheels because the right rear suspension is deranged. Possibly even pulled the drive shaft out at that point. This, I think, if he can't get this going, this will be a full course yellow.
Oh.
And it was the number 92 of Joe Lombardo. Yeah.
Trying to make a move there on the inside into turn one. Wasn't really quite close enough. Got into the back of Dominic Lecoeur, spun him around. So the stewards are going to be having another look at that one, I am sure. Joseph, I don't think quite close enough there to make that pass. That was a battle for the
26th and 27th, yes.
Correct.
Not in the same category, those guys. Dominic Lecoeur in pro-am. Joe Lombardo, his prerogative was to try and get through and get on the back of the leading three. Mark Kwame, by the way, has dropped down into third in am now. John Getz, who had a good run yesterday, up into second. And Bill Smith's put a couple of cars between himself and the other am drivers. So, not sure if Mark's got an issue with the 43 car, or maybe he's saving himself for later on in the race. Yeah. Just on 30 minutes remaining, and the 30 car has brought out the Porsche Turbo safety car, as it now is, the bright red machine circulating at the front of the field and bringing the cars under its control. Dominic out of the number 30 car and will be not best pleased with the damage that he's just seen. You're not driving that one back.
A Frenchman there, based these days in the States, but from Gap in France. Which Gap, of course, a well-known name if you're interested in rallying. The Monte Carlo Rally has spent a lot of time at Gap over the years and in the French Alps.
Joe Lombardo with the frontal damage to mirror the rear damage on the number 30 car. Joe into the pit lane. Incident is under review, unsurprisingly, as Dominic is a tad nonplussed. What's interesting to me is the 92 car's damage is on the right front and it's the right rear of Dominic's car. So was it a secondary ding? Because coming down the inside, you would have expected that to be left front damage to Joe Lombardo's car, and it was definitely the right front of the car that's just headed to the pit lane. Bill Smith leads the AM category after a good first couple of laps past Mark Kwame. The Paul Sitter, who has subsequently dropped down into third in category behind John Gertz in the Wright Motorsports number 5757. Getz, excuse me. Yeah.
I keep getting that one wrong as well. Really interesting character. And on that number, the second place car then in the AM category, John Getz, saying Nick Cullen 57 for Wright Motorsports. Remarkable job yesterday, that team, to change the engine in between qualifying and the race. It wasn't a whole heck of a lot of time to do that, but they managed to get it done. And John came through and scored another podium finish there. He's had a whole bunch of those this season already. And he's had one win in the AM class, and that would have been his fourth additional podium finish. So he's currently stands second in the points, does John Getz, to Mark Kwame, who's won now five of the seven races. And John Getz has his, as he calls them, reverse sponsorships on his cars. Which is rather nice. He's a global equity investment manager from Western in Connecticut, so relatively home race for him. And he carries the colours of various charities on the side of cars, including Mercy Ships is definitely one, and there's two others as well. I'm forgetting them now, I'm afraid, John. But hats off for all you do for charitable causes, as of course does IMSA in general, and this whole paddock gives a lot back to various communities wherever they might be.
That's a good point you make there, Jeremy. You know, we often see motor racing, particularly single driver motor racing, as a very selfish sport, and in some ways it has to be. What we see in this IMSA paddock, and we've got five different championships here at Watkins Glen this weekend, is a huge amount of social and community responsibility spread between the categories. Some very well known, like the End Alzheimer's sponsorship on some of the cars, on a couple of the cars that we see in the other categories. And that's not just about raising money, it's about raising awareness through to the kind of projects that John Getz and one or two others are doing, where they are giving back and using the opportunity to give space on their cars to worthy causes. Not least, of course, Racing for Children's at the front of this field with Kelly Moss.
Yeah, three cars that are running at the Children's Hospital in Alabama. It'll be the top two cars in this race, Kai Van Berle and Riley Dickinson, and also Michael McCann in car number 8 as well, who's carrying those Racing for Children's colours. And next week, in actual fact, Riley Dickinson is going to be heading to Silverstone in the UK for the British Grand Prix weekend. He's going to be taking part in the Michelin Porsche Super Cup, or what's it called these days? Porsche Super Cup. And representing the Children's Hospital there in England. Good. So that's a great opportunity for him. He's so excited about that. I saw him yesterday and he's pumped up, ready for that one.
Sold out for months, that.
Has
and
it?
With the uptick in fortune and performance of the two British drivers for the Brackley-based Mercedes AMG team, there will be even more home fervour at the airfield circuit at Silverstone. Mercedes could pretty much drive their cars from their base at Brackley, as could Aston Martin Racing. They're actually on the Silverstone site, so lots of home favourites to talk about there. Haven't seen the weather forecast yet. It's been exceptionally hot in the UK in the last few weeks, so almost certain then that to coincide with the start of the big season of events in the UK, that we'll have thunderstorms all over next weekend. If Wimbledon is starting as well, which I think it is next week, then who knows what the weather will be doing. No weather intervention here at Watkins Glen International, as the safety car lights are out and we will restart single file. And it will be Kai Van Berle who'll bring them to the line with just on 24 minutes still to run. His teammate Riley Dickinson behind him, then Trent Nesta, who is renowned as a fast starter. We've already got overtaking going into turn number 11 as soon as the green flag was called. Top two have again broken away. Estep not able to put pressure on. Riley Dickinson in second place ahead of him. Parker Thompson was looking for a way through there. One or two people running off wide at turn one.
Top five
have gone.
TJ Fisher and Sean Varvig were side by side there heading down to turn one. Not sure whether they came out in the same order, but that certainly that infighting there will have cost them a little bit of ground to this quintet out front. But it's still those two Kelly Moss cars. Boy, they've really got to handle these cars. There's Parker Thompson making a move,
on Trenton Estep
in third place, but can he hold on to it?
No, because Estep just went all four wheels onto the curbs in the penultimate part of the inner loop, the bus stop chicane. And straight lined it, got a great, I think it was airborne, all four wheels. Michelin make great tyres, but I'm not sure they're giving you that much grip strength if you're 2 inches off the ground with all of them.
This is no drag.
Saving tyre wear, Jeremy, saving tyre wear for later in the race.
Yeah.
Dimitri DeMarcos down the inside at turn number 7 of the number 13 of Aranchowski. Wright Motorsports there, battling with 311 RS. They changed position since the restart because Dimitri was ahead on the restart, so Varun had got the better of the very inexperienced driver, and I say that in the nicest possible way because Dimitri has been an outstanding talent this year after what was meant to be a one-off appearance at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, which was a triple header actually at the end of last year. His talent spotted by 311 RS Motorsport, who literally made him an offer he couldn't refuse. He's not a racing driver by trade. Real estate is his business. And he's loving being involved in this championship. Steep learning curve for him. He was in one of the older cars at the end of last season and has made the transition to the 992 for this year.
And the Pro-Am class still led by Alan Metney, but interestingly, he and Efren Castro, running second in the class, the car number 65, have set identical best laps so far. 149.831 for both of them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember that little side-by-side incident in the first part of the race between TJ Fisher and Alan Metney. That cost Alan probably five or six places, and that's given Efren Castro a chance to be right on his bumper after that restart. Meantime, Efren in that pink and black car, looking at the back of Alan Metney's silver black and blue machine, and right up his tailpipes, Efren's, that is Grant Telke in the ACI Motorsports. Grant in the number 81 car, that's the green and black machine, going into turn seven now. As you would expect, off the back of a restart, things pretty hectic. Grant with the green wheels on that car. Behind him, Justin Oakes for Nola Sport, who is gaining in confidence. And I've seen him make a couple of outstanding moves. Blue headlamp running lights, blue shade band and blue mirrors. That means that he is in the Pro-Am category.
Yeah, and every other colour on the rest of the car.
Yeah, can't decide whether it's matching or clashing, but it's doing something. It's the Drone Works car, the number 47. It's distinctive, Jeremy.
Yeah.
We never confuse that one with anything else. Actually, it looks really lovely in the sunshine because that base colour is really shining through. Remember, he was the one who pitched Efren Castro into the flowers at Long Beach. Coming down the front straight, the bulk of the field, as the leaders are going off over the top of turn four. And for the moment, it has settled down after the restart. Yeah. Castro, though, under pressure, and he's not been able to get under the rear wing of Alan Metney. Indeed, he's fighting off Grant Torkey and Justin Oakes, who are having their own scrap behind them.
Yeah, cost them a little bit of ground, hasn't it, to Alan Metney? Scrapping down at turn one and up into the S's, but basically speaking, that from third down to about 14th or 15th, they were sort of nose to tail. Grant Torkey looking at taking a lunge to the inside at turn six there. Wow,
that was a smashing manoeuvre. He'd seen the Efren Castro car go wide at the exit of turn five, went to the right and then cut back to the left. He hasn't been able to stick the landing, as it were. And now Justin Oakes feels he's got an opportunity with the rear of Grant's car moving around under acceleration out of turn seven on that uphill area. Easy to spin up the Michelins there.
Yeah.
You're desperate to get on the throttle early on that uphill section.
Absolutely right, John. And particularly these cars, they tend to be a bit oversteery. And in these hot conditions, if the car is oversteering, it's loose, it's going to burn up those rear tyres. And that's what all of the drivers were concerned about coming into this race. That caution period would certainly have helped that tyre wear. But they've got to be careful not to overuse them too soon in this race. Meanwhile, the two race leaders continuing to extend their advantage. Now Kai Van Berle all of a sudden is has pulled out a fair bit now, about 1.4 seconds as they cross the line over his teammate Ryan Dickens. The top three cars equi-spaced.
With Trenton Estep for MDK in third, and he's got about a second on Parker Thompson in fourth. He's got 6/10 of a second. And then Lee Keane, about half a second over TJ Fisher, who's got half a second over Sean Varwig and Varun Chosky. So just the one safety car at the moment for the number 30 car, which was pitched into a spin by Joe Lombardo. And that was under investigation, and I haven't seen a penalty for Joe for that.
No, but Joe's in the pits and doesn't seem to be likely to be rejoining either. So
I'll take that back. There was a penalty. Drive-through, incident responsibility. So it was put on the race control screen. That was Dominic Lecure, who was nerfed out of the race. You might ask, why assess a penalty on someone who's already in the pit lane? That is race control being absolutely correct in my view and consistent, and also sending the message to everyone else that that little lunge, not deliberate, but that little lunge and the incident was not acceptable. And whether the car's in the pits or behind the wall or still on the track, I think it's absolutely right that our race director has set out his stall, so to speak, and let everybody know what the situation is, Jeremy.
Yeah, I agree. I think they've certainly done the right thing there, and the race control And you know, it's a tight-knit community down there for sure.
Is.
So you know, there's mutual respect up and down the pit lane, and I'm sure that Joseph Lombardo will go over to Dominic Lecoeur after this race and say, "Yeah, sorry, my bad."
Yeah.
And race control, of course, just making that message clear as well. New good lap there for our race leader, 48.959. The previous two laps by our race leader, Kai van Berle, were within a hundredth of a second of each other, 149.13, 149.12. This time he goes even quicker and extends that lead now over Ryan Dickinson to 1.8 seconds. Good. A similar margin back to Trenton Estep in third.
Good battle for eighth position. Varanchowski in the 13, white, red and black car. Down at turn six, the black with red striping. That's the number 11 of Dimitri Dimarcos. That's another 311 RS car. And then Michael McCann for McCann Racing in the number 8 car. They're all having a scrap for 8th position. And just behind Michael, actually, is the Pro-Am class leader, the Kelly Moss driver, number 99, the iFly car of Alan Metney. Now, Alan does not need to be held up here because Efren Castro is the next car back. So he's got a decision to make here. Does he get mixed up with the Pro guys ahead of him battling for position for 8th, 9th and 10th? Or does he just steer back there? The problem is, he's caught them quite quickly, so he's got pace. And Efren Castro, last time around, was actually a tad quicker than Alan Metney. But while I say a tad, round about a third of a tenth. But seeing that battle ahead of him, I'm pretty certain Efren Castro will be getting his foot down. He's got something to aim at the back of the Metney car. And ahead of Alan Metney, Dimarcos almost pulled to the inside there and then realised there was somebody on the inside. That was almost exactly the same of Travis Wiley yesterday when the 11 car got sideways at the bottom of turn two in the compression, and that's what started that accident off. Now, opportunity for Metney. Goes to one side, then the other of Michael McCann into the inner loop. The silver, the GT silver and red car then is currently in 10th position. Metney is being closed down on. Behind the silver and black car, the iFly 99. Watch out for the purple and black because that is Efren Castro and he is bringing Grant Torkey and Justin Oakes with him. Now, Justin Oakes is another Pro-Am driver. Grant Torkey is the Pro driver in the middle of that. So Castro then, with eyes on the prize of a potential win in category. That's the car directly ahead of him. The blue numbers, the blue running lights, shade bands and windows, and mirrors, excuse me, tell you that that's the Pro-Am category. Nothing to choose now between those two as Castro's put in a very good lap last time around. Took a couple of tenths out of the leader in class. Castro in that distinctive bright purple and gloss black machine. Goes across the line underneath our feet and down towards turn one. And he's right there.
Yeah.
With Metney now.
He is, isn't he?
And Metney's dropped away from that battle. I think Metney's giving himself a bit of room there so he can do a bit of defending without getting tied up with the cars ahead of him. I think that's very sensible by Alan. We're absolutely used to seeing Alan in the top 10. Has won a race outright, of course. DeMarco still having to defend to Michael McCann. Bill Smith leads the AM division.
He does. He's got a train of cars there. He's doing a super job there in the 19th position overall in car number 42, that very distinctive orange car. Kung Fu Saloon on the side of it. And he's actually pulled out a little bit of a margin out. She's a bit closer,
has.
I think, to Marco Cerroni this time around. Matt Holcomb is behind him. Then Moise Juretsky. They're both Pro-Am cars. Conor Flynn is also in that battle for Irish Max Racing, car number 95. He's a Pro driver. And then the second place AM is John Goetz, who's just ahead of Kurt Swering and who has passed Mark Kouame and pulled away from Mark Kouame, yeah, the pole sitter and championship leader in AM, who's now down to third position in that AM category.
Yeah, something not quite right with Mark or his car today. Qualified on pole position. Bill saw him off fairly early on. I think Mark had had a wee moment early on, and I just wonder if he maybe has taken that little aerodynamic device on the 43 car at the front. I wonder if he's taken that off. John Goetz then in the silver and purple machine. That has a look at the hippie Porsche when you see it from the side. Those of a certain age will know what I mean. One of the great Porsche colour schemes of the past. Kouame in the number 43. His lap times are dropping away just a wee bit. 52.4 last time around. See, he's just recovered that last time around. That's his best lap. So maybe if there is a problem, Mark is finding a way to drive around it. I just wonder early on, I thought he'd maybe had a little mistake and dropped off the track. Whether there's a piece missing or something from the front of that car, hard to see at speed. He's in elegant isolation at the moment through the bus stop area. He's tackling the kerbs in the inner loop. Meantime, at the front of the field, Kai von Berlo, fastest lap to his name, pole position. Comes out of turn eight. And the gap now to his teammate has opened out to over 3 seconds. Trenton Estep and Parker Thompson. Another second or second and a half apiece behind. This is another Van Berlo masterclass at the moment, Jeremy.
Yep, just under 10 minutes remaining in the race. And he's another very, very impressive performance by Kai van Berlo. He's just in control of this race from the moment the green flag fell. Good luck there for Alan Metney, extended his lead over Efren Castro to almost a second that time around. He was about 3 or 4 tenths quicker, Alan Metney. He's got nobody right in front of him now. Michael McCann in car number 8 is about a second or so in front of Alan Metney. So that battle for 11th and 12th positions between Alan Metney and Efren Castro will continue for the lead.
Dimitri Tamakos,
he's got to run.
And Varun Jurski still battling ahead for their little personal scrap going on for 8th and 9th, isn't it, as they go through. A couple of distinctively coloured cars as well. Well, we know a little bit about Dimitri Tamakos. What's Varun Chosky's story, Jeremy?
Varun Chosky has done some... he did some Canadian Formula Ford back in 2019. Karts before that. A bit of F4. He's done some Formula Regional Americas, which is the US F3 Regional Series. He's done some of that as well. So he's got a fair bit of open-wheel experience. This is his first season in Tin Top Racing, let's say, in this Porsche Carrera Cup North America. 25 years of age, from Atlanta, Georgia, and he's doing a nice job again in this race. He's just, this is brand new to him, but he's had a bunch of consistent finishes and he had a couple of DNFs, but other than that, he's been kind of on the verge of the top, say, 7 or 8, and that's where he is running at the moment.
Not always easy to transition, even as a good single-seater driver, into the heavier GT cars. But we've seen people do it in the past. Parker Thompson, notably, in this field, of course. One or two others as well. So down into the last 7 minutes. And still, Kai van Berlo from Riley Dickinson, the two Kenny Moss runners at the front of the field. The battle for me to keep an eye on at the moment is that for the Pro-Am. Just outside the top 10, 11th and 12th, Alan Metney in the silver and black 99, and Efren Castro in the black and purple, number 65.
Yeah.
They're just coming out of the inner loop now. Meantime, Tom Collingwood and Tom Ballam have entered the pits in their cars. Now, don't know if that's mechanical or whether there's been a bit of a coming together there. We'll get that for you if we can.
On that lap, it was Efren Castro had the battle lap there. So the previous lap, it was Metney who had got a bit of an edge, but now it's Castro again who's closed right in, that distinctive purple and black car. The Dominican driver, originally from the Dominican Republic, now based in New Jersey, where he runs some supermarkets.
Not too far for him to drive up either. Nice drive up as well,
yeah,
to this part of the world. And this is on now, Jeremy.
It is, isn't it?
Castro's got right back there, and both of them miles off the track. Gone much further. They would have had to show their passes to get back in again. But I think it's tyre trouble for Metney. He's having trouble getting that car stopped and turned. It's the battle for 11th overall, but it's the battle for the lead in the Pro-Am class. And Metney again off the circuit at turn number 10. So 8 and 10, both of them pushing the limits. Castro must know now. That's a really interesting thing to see if you're chasing somebody down and you see that they're having some kind of trouble with the car. Let's see what turn one brings. Metney a little tidier this time. Runs right out to the edge. And in fact, it's Castro that is almost all four wheels off. They are definitely pushing and matching each other 10th for 10th in that battle for 11th position overall. A 150.3 for Metney last time around, a 50.1 for Efren Castro, but he's lost a bit of ground in this opening part of the lap, and there's only 5 minutes to go.
Great stuff. This is a super back and forth battle here, and the tyres are certainly, they're past their best at this stage, so the drivers are going to adapt and cope with it as best they can. And as we can see from these two, consistency is hard to find at this stage in the race.
Down towards turn six, asking the front tyres to stop and turn at the same time. Nice slide, backing it in there. Efren Castro's got a good run out of six, and he's almost on terms, almost but not quite. But again, he's got a better performance into the middle of the corner, and another big slide out by Alan Metney, but he's opened up maybe a car and a half's length on Castro in this battle for the Pro-Am lead. Down to turn eight, traffic ahead of them. Their pace is beginning to push them closer to Michael McCann and Dimitri Dimarcos, who are in 10th and 9th. In fact, 10th, 9th and 8th, because Ryan Chokesy, of course, is right there as well in 8th position. 4 minutes to go. The leader is at turn one. The battle for the Pro-Am lead is coming out the final corner, and that's been a good last third of the lap for Alan Metney. He comes onto the front straight and underneath our commentary position here with an increased lead this time. Across the line, 0.6 seconds. What has Castro got left? Much neater and tidier through turn one, Castro that time. At the front of the field, the gap is still 3.8 seconds. And a spin at the final corner. And that is the car that was in that battle, Grant Torkey, for ACI Motorsports. He was in that little group with Justin Oakes and Efren Castro not so long ago. So he's just dropped it, but he gets it in the facing in the right direction. Alan Metney then, just outside the top 10.
Yeah, just less than 3 minutes remaining now in this race. That was a good lap of 150.2 last time around for Alan Metney. It's within 0.4 seconds of his fastest lap.
He's gone off. He's lost the lead.
Yes, he has.
He's lost the lead because he's gone wide at the bus stop. I thought he was looking in elegant isolation.
Yeah, so that good lap was followed by a not so good lap. We talked about it. Consistency is hard to find, but
he
was under pressure from Efren Castro, and Metney was pushing hard as he always does. He really pushes himself to the limit. Just loves racing in general. And he's got two daughters here this weekend. Alan Metney cheering him on, so it's good family atmosphere there. But
slide! This is Justin Oakes coming out at 9 and not to hit anything there. He'd have been very lucky. He needed to turn the wheel the other way. He's put the right rear into the left-hand side of the track. Not the best of flick turns either, and now he's stalled the engine and his car's coming through. Through goes the number 88 of Hutton McKenna, and he's banged the front end of the car as well, and his frustration. Oh, Justin.
Yeah, done a good job. He was sort of closing in a little bit, I think, on that battle
he
for
was.
The lead. in the Pro-Am class.
Just got over-exuberant coming out of turn nine. Probably saw the rejoin from Alan Metney and thought there was maybe a second position for him there. Just got a bit overexcited. Be the white flag next time around for Kai van Berlo. Coming to complete 20 laps. Just Bills. Too much speed. Almost saves it. Gosh. He turns the wheel the other way there. To his left when he's going backwards. He flicks turns it back to face the right direction. And then he made things worse by a less than competent flick turn. Hunton McKenna had to come through. And then as he accelerated away, banged the left front into the driver's left-hand side.
Yeah,
he'd
so
be annoyed with himself. He's brought the car in. That was a nailed-on podium for him there in class. And he's dropped out of the running now.
So it'll be white flag this time around for our race leader, Kai van Berlo. There it is. And Kai has, again, managed his pace perfectly. He's going quicker now than he was four or five laps ago. 148.9 again on this lap to complete lap 20.
Against his best lap, Jeremy, of a 148.7. So he's only 0.2 away from his best lap. He has saved performance, even though he might not have had to use it. That's brilliant.
Yeah, very, very, very impressive. And once again, it looks like another 1-2 finish for that team. And now Efren Castro is up into that 11th position. And he's got about 3 seconds in hand over Alan Metney. So he'll be just looking now to bring it home. Bill Smith in that car number 42 for Top
Great
Racing. He's just done a brilliant job today. He's got a huge train of cars around him as well. He's actually pulled away a little bit on this lap. He's chasing Marco Cerroni, who's got a massive amount of experience in Porsches over the years. And the 65-year-old, the oldest driver in the field, will take that white flag.
Bill's got Matt Holcomb and Conor Flynn between himself and Boy Zierecki between himself and John Goetz, who is the next arm runner. So that's something in the region of 2 or 3 seconds. Well, the Dutchman has conquered again here at Watkins Glen International. His win yesterday gave him a round dozen top finishing spots in the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by visitcaymanisland.com. And today he moves that onto 13. Lucky for him, not sure there was much luck involved here. That was a brilliant run. Pace, performance and perfection for this weekend. It's a Dutch double with the checkered flag in the air. And van Berlo extends his championship lead here at Watkins Glen from his teammate Riley Dickinson in second and Trenton Estep for MDK Motorsports in third. JDX and Parker Thompson one step off the podium in fourth, ahead of Lee Keane in fifth and TJ Fisher in sixth. It'll be Efren Castro coming out the final corner now, flashing the headlights for Kelly Moss. Another winner for Kelly Moss, and they'll take first and second in Pro-Am with Alan Metney, I think, fighting a car that didn't want to go where he wanted it in the last five laps or so. And for Am, 17th position for Top Racing and Bill Smith. Old age and treacherously beats the youngsters.
That was a great effort by Bill Smith.
Brilliant.
The oldest driver in the field. He comes home in the 17th position. He will be, and he should be, because that was a great effort. Todd Opperman, the crew at Top Racing, giving him a good car, and he's absolutely done a super job with it. To finish right behind Marco Cerroni is really impressive. Marco was fourth in Pro-Am. There's 12 Pro-Am cars in this race, let's not forget. So Bill Smith right up amongst them in that car number 42. But yeah, as you say, John, it's been all Dutch this weekend, and Kai van Berlo extends his lead in the championship, 199 points I reckon he has now unofficially, to the 152 of Parker Thompson, who will remain in second place despite finishing in the fourth position here this morning. Riley Dickinson will have 127. Trenton Estep, who finished in third position today, on 116.
Kai van Berlo then for the Racing for Children's Foundation and for Kelly Moss. He will have a huge smile on his face. Efren Castro, well, you might say that he was slightly gifted that, but I think he was putting pressure on Alan Metney.
Yeah.
And that pressure paid off.
Absolutely right.
He fought his way through, passed a few cars. Alan, in fairness, didn't get the rub of the green with TJ Fisher, did he? And that's what pushed him back towards there. But when Efren got there, he didn't push too hard after the restart. He found some performance later on and was right there when the mistake was made. It's not as if he was 5 seconds back down the road. He was there. The pressure was on. And Alan made that slight mistake at turn five. Did well to keep it out the wall, actually, Metney. But Efren Castro, worthy winner.
Yeah, indeed. And in the other classes, I think this win, the third win of the season in Pro-Am for Efren Castro, will move him up to second place in the points in the Pro-Am category. Alan Metney, who finished second again today, will still lead 153 points to 124. So Castro jumping from fourth to second ahead of Justin Oakes and Kurt Swearingen, who third and fourth now. In the Am class, Mark Kwame still got a pretty handy lead, but Bill Smith will move up to from fourth to third in the standings on 138, just 1 point now behind John Getz, who finished second today. Mark Kwame leads still on 172.
Finishing third today from pole position, Mark Kwame. Well, to the victor, the spoils, and as well as the haul of points that Jeremy mentioned earlier on for Kai van Berlo, he gets the VP Racing Fuel checkered flag and the drive into the victory circle here, right opposite our commentary position at Watkins Glen International. What a brilliant weekend, a fabulous venue that suits these cars very well indeed. Two races that have been dominated at the front by Kelly Moss. They locked out the front row and they've locked out the top two steps of the podium on both days. The usual rough and tumble in the midfield, some mistakes as well, particularly for Justin Oakes. But well done to Bill Smith and to Mark Kwame, who were winners in the AM over the weekend. But the only person who's doubled up is Kai van Berlo for Kelly Moss Racing, and he improves his lead.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.